The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth.
You're listening to Truth Infusion. And now for your host, David Markham.
Well, thank you, Matt, and welcome. Welcome, Truth Seekers, to Truth Infusion. I'm your host, David Markham, and this is Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. And we're going to take a break from what we've been doing the last few weeks, and we're going to do something that I've really come to enjoy. I've invited a good friend of mine, Jason Edge, is back in the studio.
Hello.
And so you know what that means, that when Jason's here, that means that it's Q&A, it's question and answer day, Truth Infusion, and this has really become a fun time.
I enjoy it. I really do.
It's different because we just kind of get off of kind of really some hardcore Bible study, and we do something that though it may be a change of direction, I think it's a good thing to do.
It's needed.
Yeah, because we take your questions, your concerns, things that maybe you're struggling with in the Word, which, you know, there's a lot of information in that book, and a lot of it I have no clue about, man. I'm getting better at it, but a lot of times I need to go ask somebody, what does this mean, or what do you think about this part of this verse, or, and so you may have questions coming from the Word of God that you struggle with, and perhaps that we may have some answers, or some maybe say a few things that kind of get you on a path where the Holy Spirit wants you to be so you can resolve some of those questions, and maybe it's life questions. A lot of times as Christians, we live in this world and we're struggling between the flesh and the spirit and between, just circumstance to circumstance, and questions arise. How do I deal with this? How do I deal with that? We had a good one today, you and I through text messaging, talking about Jesus at the wedding in Canaan.
Mm-hmm.
And the question kind of was posed that, Jesus obviously can't do something to put somebody in a situation where they're going to sin. He can't bring a person to sin. You know, he can't. So how do you reconcile that with Jesus creating, seven more large stone pitchers full of wine at the wedding, after they had already run out?
After they run out, and they're already, a lot of them, done it overindulged, done, drank too much, and he makes more.
Yeah, so how do you reconcile that, especially if you're a brother or sister that's struggling with alcohol? I've had that question posed to me more than once. The quick answer I threw back to you was that it was Capri Sun is what he put back in the pots. Was it really wine? No, I'm just being silly. The truth is this. Some people say, well, it wasn't wine at all. It was grape juice. The issue I have with that is all the other times in the Bible where the word wine is used and there's a problem with being drunk involved. Okay, how do you reconcile that? Same word, right? Mm-hmm. So this says wine. It doesn't say grape juice. Maybe it was grape juice, but there's reason to believe that it wasn't. Well, what if it's really wine?
Right.
So how do you explain that? And I thought, the Holy Spirit kind of put this thought in my head. Just recently had this awful tragedy, Colorado theater, where this crazy guy kicks in the door, shoots and kills, 12 people died.
12 people, I think.
So my question back to Jason was, the guys that built those guns and that ammunition, are they responsible at all for what that man did in that theater? Well, no. The guy that crafted that gun had nothing to do with someone who made the choice to open fire on innocent people. Just because Jesus performed a great mighty miracle and someone made the choice to take something that was miraculous and abuse it to the point of drunkenness doesn't mean that Jesus held their head in the bucket and made them drink from the wine. So, Christ also, God also created sex. He did for very specific purposes between a man and a woman. And how many times over the centuries have people totally taken that into the realm of sin? Extreme. Is God at fault? for creating sex? No. We are people of flesh, and once we're tempted, if we're not led by the Holy Spirit, we fall into areas of sin. Now, I don't know. That has nothing to do with a question that is on our question list. But you got me thrown off this morning, and I was thinking about that. All right. So let's do something that's very important we should have done about 5 minutes ago. Let's pray.
Oh, yeah, let's pray. That's a good thing to do.
And then let's actually get into a question from one of our listeners. Go ahead, man. Okay.
Father God, we just ask that you let us use us, Father, with the word. Use us over these airwaves to touch people's hearts, over the internet to touch people's hearts with the truth. Father, this question that we're about to ask, it's a very important question, and I think every Christian and non-believer has asked this question at some point in their life. Father, so let us, through you, through us, answer this the best way, the way that you want to answer that, Father. And I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right, let's see. Renee in Arkansas, what did she ask us?
Renee in Arkansas asks, why did bad things happen to you when you were in God's will?
Or how this is stated all the time.
Why do bad things happen to good people?
Right. This is, I knew when God put it on my heart to do these Q&A shows, there were two questions in my mind that I knew we were going to have to spend time on. One of them we answered at the very first Q&A deal, and it dealt with God saying, you know, basically, thou shalt not murder, and then commanding the Israelites to go into this town, especially under Joshua, and they taking over Canaan and wipe out a whole city. How do you reconcile the angel of death going through Egypt and killing all these innocent babies? So if you want to hear that one, you need to get on the internet, go find Q&A show number one, and we dealt with that one. This is the other question I knew we were going to have to spend time on. And you said it in that prayer. In some shape, form, or fashion, we've all had to deal with, why do bad things happen to good people? If you're a Christian living in God's will, why am I suffering such awful stuff? Not too long ago, I was in my living room with my kids and my wife, and we were doing a Bible study. I don't remember what the topic was. My 7-year-old, the youngest in the house, asked this question. Daddy, why did bad things happen? What I think what he said was had something to do with why do kids get kidnapped?
Mm-hmm.
That's what he's asking, though. Why does, you know, they had never done anything to deserve something like that. Why does God let that happen? So this is common to every man. And here's the thing. If it's common even to Christians, then obviously it's going to be common to people that aren't saved. And if they come up with this question to you or to I, they deserve a decent answer.
That's right.
You know, I'm not going to have the answer to every single question that asks, so that when the person walks away from me, they're just like, oh, well, that's it. I'm satisfied completely. You know, not every question has an answer that ties all the ends together that way. But we ought to be able to sit down, love and grace and compassion of Jesus Christ, and help them understand where there's some fallacy in that question and the heart of God where his creation is concerned. And that's really what this is about. The first person I think about with why do bad things happen to good people is Job.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that the theme of the whole book, basically? You all right?
Yeah.
Jason just about knocked over the whole
studio
right there with his large knee. It's much bigger now because it's swollen. But you have Job, and we don't have time to go into all the scripture, but here's what happens. You read the first couple chapters of Job, and this is what you see. You know, there were some angels that had been called to account before God, and Satan was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And Satan's there, and God, I wish I could have heard this conversation, especially knowing how the story ends, you know. I wish I could have heard Satan, you know, God say, Satan, what do you think about my boy Job?
He's just perfect.
You know, what do you think about my servant Job? First of all, my thought is, what would it be like for me to be living a life so righteous in God's eyes that he brags on me to Satan? Can you imagine, Satan, what do you think about Jason? That's just an amazing thought to me. And so Satan, you know, I just get my picture that they're standing on the, you know, the edge of heaven looking down on Job. There's God, and there's Satan kind of cowering by God's side and God smiling on his face. What do you think about my boy Job? Because I'm proud of him. And Satan says, well, duh. Look at all this protection you give him. Look at this. You won't let it, he can't be touched. You know, he's so surrounded by your protection. No wonder he's righteous. No wonder he praises you and worships you and lives for you. I would too.
Look at everything he's got. Right. He's got all these cows, all these servants, all these children.
He's got everything that he's blessed by you. No wonder. And you know, God was setting him up.
Uh-huh.
God was setting up Satan for the fall. Satan is so wise. He's stupid.
That's right.
And God says, okay, well then, okay, I'll take the hedge of protection away. Go on down there, do whatever you want to do, but don't touch his life. Don't touch him physically. And we're really paraphrasing what happened. But Satan goes down, and in a short matter of time. Servants are coming to Job with reports, and they are anything but good. One of them tells him, all of your, flocks have been stolen away. He had a hedge of protection around him, and those outside invading people, those armies that wanted to come and attack Job, God wouldn't let it happen. Well, that protection left. Satan sent them in. They robbed from him. I mean, it would have been millions of dollars in our day and time.
Right.
They kill servants. Then the Bible tells us a servant comes and says to Job, a big wind comes, knocks down the house. All of your kids were in the house. I think he had 10.
10 kids. Yes.
All of your kids are dead. Now, brother, I can't imagine what it would be like for one of my babies.
Yeah.
To all of a sudden be gone. But 10, all of them at one time, gone. All of a sudden, everything that Job was blessed with seemingly was absent. And the question is this, what did he do to deserve all that? Well, God told us the answer when he was talking with Satan up in heaven. Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Job had done nothing to deserve. Like he had sinned. In fact, that's what a large portion of the book's about. His friends are coming and say, well, surely you messed up.
Yeah.
You sinned. You've grieved God. You need to repent. Job's trying to figure out what? What did I do? He can't figure. You know, if you've got to search hard to figure out what you did wrong, if you're really looking and can't find the answer, then Holy Spirit's not convicting you of anything, then there's a good chance that just ain't the case.
That's right.
Job's wife comes to him, and she's full of good advice. She's really there to encourage them. And I believe she said to him, here's what you ought to do, honey, baby. Quit scraping your boils for a second. Let me talk to you. Just curse God and die, Job. Your life is not worth living. Just go ahead, call God every four-letter name word you can think of and just roll over and die. It's not worth living. But Job said more than once over and over, though you slay me, still, I will serve you.
That's right.
Now, why do good things happen to bad people? Why do bad things happen to good people is what we're trying to talk about. Job finally asked God the question, why? Why? And in fact, he demanded answers. First of all, I want to point out when Job demanded God, I want to know why. God did not get his feelings hurt. He did not throw Job out of the family. He did not, fall off the throne and pitch a fit. It doesn't diminish God for us to be honest with our emotions before God.
That's right.
You know, if you're hurting and you say, God, I don't understand, and I'm confused and I'm hurting, God doesn't shoo you away and say, well, get away from me. I don't want to have anything to do with someone that would voice their concerns to me. He already knows your heart. Job finally asks why. And you know what? God never answered him. God never told him why, but God did show up and remind him, even in this awful situation, I'm still God. And you read those last few chapters of Job, he didn't say it in one line, buddy. He gave him reason upon reason upon example why I'm still God. And then, because of Job's faithfulness to stand up and bear up under and never turn away from God, the Bible lets us know that God returned to him blessing, countless blessings, greater than Job ever had it before. His life was set up, and then that hedge of protection was formed around him. Satan looked like a fool. Job ended up more blessed, and God was glorified. Amen. So we're going to come back and talk about some scripture that comes to this point of this question. Join us right on the other side of the break. Hey, Truth Seekers, this is David Markham, and I want to ask you to go to truthinfusion.com and check out our blog site. I'm using it like a Bible study. We're talking about justification, sanctification, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I want you to go get your Bible, check what I'm saying, make sure I'm telling you the truth. But I think you'll find some things there that challenge you to see things differently, maybe a little more clearly. So truthinfusion.com, check me out on the blog site, and you keep seeking the truth.
Do you or your loved one need the support of Compassionate Home Healthcare Services? Truth Infusion Ministries would love to recommend Kelton Home Health for your home health needs. They offer skilled nursing care, home health aides, and multiple forms of therapy, all in the comfort of your home. For more information, call 903-796-4040. That's 903-796-4040. Kelton Home Health, enriching lives every day.
I have a little assignment for you. I want you to go to truthinfusion.com. If you look on the homepage, you'll see the area where you can put your information in to receive our monthly newsletter. Now, this will give you all the recent updates and the things going on in the ministry so that you'll know what to pray for and what to expect in the upcoming days and weeks from Truth Infusion. God bless you. Until next time, you keep seeking the truth. All right, we're back, and it's Q&A day. Jason's here in the studio with us, and give him some proof that you're here.
Word.
So we're going to just, I don't even know what to say after that.
That's right.
So what we're doing today is we're really going to spend this entire show discussing one question. The question basically boils down to, why do bad things happen to good people? If you're living for God, especially if you're a Christian, if you're living for God, why then... is my life falling apart?
I thought after you were saved, everything was supposed to be just fine.
Well, that's, you know, there's the rub. We've created a monster for ourselves to have to deal with. There's, you know, the name it and claim it, the faith doctrine that's out there, where basically says that, you know, if you believe and you give to the right preacher, don't you do it. He likes to mimic certain preachers, and we're not going to do that over the radio. But if you give to the right preacher in the right ministry and you believe just right, then your life's going to come up roses, healthy, wealthy, wise. You can have what you believe. All you got to do is know the right verses to quote.
That's right.
Give the right amount of money.
Pray enough.
Yeah.
You know, do enough good deeds.
And you won't struggle.
That's right.
You won't hurt. You know, I challenge you, listener. Truth Seeker, do this. If you've got satellite TV and you've got that bank of Christian television channels, get on there tonight, 7, 8, 9 o'clock, and flip through. Spend about 5 minutes on each of those channels in the middle of program time. Not commercial time, program time. Tell me, out of all those Christian channels, how many sermons you can flip through in one set and hear them talking about money and faith, like we just spoke about. And if you will give, then you can back God into a corner and tell him what you want, and nothing bad's going to happen to you. And if something does happen bad, listen, it is your fault.
That's right.
It's your fault. This is becoming America's doctrine. But here's the problem, bro. Jesse Duplantis, Creflo Dollar, I want to see you hop on your jet, fly to Ethiopia, and tell them, you're not believing enough. That's why you're starving.
That's right.
See, brother, that doctrine don't work everywhere in the world. And truth is truth no matter where you're standing.
That's right.
And so, still, it's a good question. Not everybody's heard those preachers preach, and they still have this question. Here's the answer to this question, Renee. You've got to show these people that just because you come to God does not mean you become taken out of life. You're not excluded from life and struggle and circumstances just because you're a child of God. The source for believing this is the Word. So we want to take you to some verses. And the reason a Christian may struggle with this, here's the bottom line. They haven't been in the Word enough to understand that it's full of verses that explain this. I want to give you one of mine and talk about it for a second, then I'll pitch it over to Jason, let him do the same thing. Let me give it to you from the words, the mouth of Jesus Christ himself. One of my very favorite verses, and I've had to fall back on this so many times in my life. Why? Because I have struggled. I've gone through circumstances. This is what Jesus said, John 16:33. I have told you these things so that you may have peace in this world. Listen, you will have trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to this part. Here's the promise. But take heart. I have overcome the world. Now, here's the part you need to hear, truth seeker. Who is he talking to right there? Was he talking to some pagan group of idol worshipers? No. Was he talking to the Pharisees, of whom he had just said to them, to the people, if your righteousness does not surpass that of the Pharisees, you will not see the kingdom of heaven? No. He's talking to the disciples.
That's right.
Why? Because he's about to die, ascend. They're going to go into a world that's going to persecute them to the point of death. These were the apostles. And Jesus said, when you come into trouble, when you come into trouble, I want you to have peace. Remember that I have overcome the world. So this is the point we're going to make through these next few verses. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that just because you're holy in my sight, just because you're my child, doesn't mean that you're exempt. What do you got?
I got one of my favorite verses come through when times get hard, and I don't know why this is happening. You know, I go to James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. And this is James. This is Jesus' own brother. So, you know, he's been there.
Right.
He's one of the ones that was persecuted.
Yeah.
He was one of the ones that was saved. And one of the founding fathers, not the founding father, but one that really got out there and spread the word.
Pastor of the Church of Jerusalem.
That's right. He was the head of the Jewish council, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
So this is what he said when we're faced with tough times. He says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that in testing your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that we may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." You know, this bad things happening to good people, we got to understand that this is God teaching us.
It's purposed.
It is. It's for a reason. It's not that we've done anything. It's not that we're a bad people or God's angry at us. Because, face it or not, if things didn't happen in our life, we wouldn't need God.
Right.
You know, if we weren't...
We wouldn't know that we need God.
Right. If we weren't tested, if we weren't, you know, having our faith tested to where will we go? Will we go back to the flesh, or will we go to God after he's proved himself over and over and over to us? We know where to go when times get tough, and we start seeking God through the Bible, through prayer, through asking questions to our pastors or people that know the Word. So that's why things happen to us. It's not because God's a angry God that he enjoys, you know, torturing his people. No, he loves us because out of this perseverance, out of this knowledge, we learn that God loves us, that God's all these rules in the Bible are set forth for our good, to love him, to worship him.
Yeah, I wrote this just the other day, if I can get it to pull up. But the point that we want to make is number one, that there's just no exemption from life.
Nope.
The Bible says that rain falls on the just and the unjust. Number two is not just there's purpose in it. You know, I don't think God causes every awful thing that happens. That's not what we're saying, and mm-hmm. that's not what the Bible bears out either. But life happens. We have an enemy that hates us, wants to destroy us
every day,
and so it may come. And this is what I explained to Taylor whenever he asked me this question the other day. It may come from just life being life. You know what? My grandfather was dying. He was a pastor. He's one of those guys that I don't think ever thought a bad word, much less said one, you know. He was the reverend. You know, everybody, he just was that kind of guy. He just lived an exemplary life. And I remember he asked my aunt, his daughter, asked him one time. He was dying, needing a heart transplant that did never come. He was a bad heart patient my whole life. And my aunt asked him one time, why you? And here's what his response was. Why not me? In other words, what did I do to earn exemption from life being life? Sometimes you're born with a bad heart physically.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you're the apple of God's eye and a minister of the word, it doesn't matter. Sometimes strong Christians get cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not because they did anything wrong, Job. It's just because life is life sometimes. Sometimes it's because we have an enemy that's setting up roadblocks and wants to see us fall, wants to steal from us, kill, and destroy our ministry, our testimony. And he will do it.
Yep.
He's good at it.
Yeah.
He's good at being bad. Sometimes we cause problems ourselves. Sometimes it's a sin nature issue.
That's right.
And we have to deal with circumstances. There's a lot of reasons why bad happens. Here's an answer for you, Renee, for you, listener. If you really can't live on the promises of the Lord, because it comes down to that. We got a few minutes left. Let's end with this thought. How do you deal with the bad? How do you deal with the bad? In just a few minutes, how can I summarize this? I guess I would do it this way. There's a lot of times the explanations aren't enough. And what I mean is this. You lose a child tragically. If God himself could come down and say, this is why I did it. This is why I allowed it to happen. Is that good enough for you, parent? Does that make the hurt go away? Does that satisfy your heart? No. Explanations aren't enough sometimes. And the explanations for every circumstances are different sometimes. Let me tell you what is always enough. Promises of God.
That's right.
They never fail. They never fall.
Amen.
They never return to him void. You need to know what the promises are. You need to know that Jesus said, I have overcome the world.
That's
so
right.
You can take heart in that. You need to know that Jesus is telling you, I will never leave you or forsake you. That I am the tour guide through the valley of the shadow of death. Mm-hmm. I will not leave your side. But if you still need answers, if the promises are not enough for you, and let me tell you, if you start seeking the promises, the Holy Spirit will change your heart and they will become enough. I don't doubt that at all.
Absolutely.
But if you're one that needs an answer right away of why is this happening to me? I'm doing my best to be a good Christian. Why? Let me give you an answer that works for every situation. Every situation. Here's your answer. It's for your good,
mm-hmm.
and it's for his glory.
That's right. Amen.
That may not satisfy you in the moment, but I promise you, if you seek after God, if you follow after the Spirit, one day you'll turn around and look at these circumstances, and you'll see every time it ended up being for my good, just like he promised. I will make all things work to good for those that love me and are called by my purpose, and it always will glorify the King of Kings.
Praise God.
Renee, I hope that helps you, and I want you to be blessed, and I want you to keep seeking the truth.
Thank you for listening to Truth Infusion. Please visit Truth Infusion Ministries on the web at truthinfusion.com. Once again, that's truthinfusion.com. We also would like to hear from our listeners. Email us truthinfusion@gmail.com.